George, I hope you're doing well. Welcome in.
I am doing well. Thank you guys very much for having me on.
Absolutely. And first off, I want to sort of get a little bit of an update. Give us, what are you doing these days, George?
I am very fortunate to be an athletic director and a head football coach at a high school out in Dallas, Texas. I've been coaching for 10 years now after retiring from the Dallas Cowboys. It's been very, very good.
You ever find a little Gene Stallings or Brother Bill Oliver coming out in George T?
I think I've mocked and mimicked them, all except for grabbing the face mask. I don't know if I can get away with that, but I do find, how much of an impression coaches have, especially Gene Stallings. I take so much from him on what I try to get back to my
Well. Coach Stallings is awesome, and we feature him here in Tuscaloosa in the fall, and it's always great. We talk football, but when you make a mistake, which I've done here when I've interviewed him and asked him about things he didn't want to talk about, he could be a little rough and tough. Is George Teague a little rough and tough every now and then?
Absolutely. You have to, as far as being stern and making your point, but, not so overbearing. I do get a chance to talk to Coach Stallings time to time, but I appreciate about him the most. He's always talking about education and what you're doing and how you get successful, not just on football, which is good.
George Teague right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. I go back and we spent some time in the summer. You sort of flash back, and we were talking about one of those great wins in Alabama history, and you go back to 1992, and I think a lot of people just doubted Alabama, and you look at Miami, they were the favorite to beat Alabama, but that was one of those, it was a turning point in Alabama, because it was the first national title since Coach Bryant had retired from coaching here, and it was just one of those that sold a lot of Alabama fans on being Alabama fans when we were growing up. 1992 sort of convinced us that the Tide was going to continue to be successful even after Coach Bryant.
Yes. Obviously, I give a lot of credit to my teammates for the hard work that they did, just the tenacity, perseverance, and everything else to be able to have an undefeated season in the first 13 and 14 like that, and win the first SEC title game. But, it all came from Coach Stallings. That he saw me as hard work and just let us grow up and be men and say, hey, we can set goals as long as we're working for us. We really became a big, big family. And fought for each other. That was an amazing run, be able to beat Miami handedly. And like you said, people not really giving us a chance to be able to do it. There were a lot of games. Wildcats football, very close games. By the time we got to the national championship, our confidence was so high that we knew we had a good chance to really roll it over that hurricane.
Hey, George, let me double check. I've got a little bit of a static, and I want to make sure that I've got a little bit of a bad connection, and I really, really am in tune with this. Let me make sure that, McMoney, can you double check just to make sure George is okay as far as our connection with him? And then I was listening to everything George was saying, and I wanted to make sure. So let's double check. And then George Teague inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. We're talking about a big-time legend. It's presented by Brian Harden Construction, a Throwback Thursday on a Flashback Friday edition. George Teague, I look back behind me. I've got a picture of George Teague in my studio here. George, I think we got you back, and I apologize. I just didn't want to, as far as the static there, I was just making sure that was not on our end. Thank you again. I apologize.
Yeah, it's all good. I understand. I apologize for being on the cell phone at this moment, but I'm burning late hours being athletic director, watching camps, and all that kind of stuff. So.
Well, you sound crystal clear. I think we got you now, and I apologize. But, George, I go back to Gino Toretta. What was the game plan like when you knew that you could sort of take advantages of some of his weaknesses?
Game plan was simple, really, was to confuse him and not go into the game allow him to know where we were going to be, because we knew that he was a tremendous quarterback, and if he knew where we were going to be, then he probably tweaked the passes that he that they wanted him to do. So when Coach Oliver came up with the 11-up concept, meaning we all were going to be on the line of scrimmage and basically run out of there, you know, I don't think we all knew how that was going to turn out as players. But once we got in the game and we saw him stumbling around and falling down on the ground and, you know, looking very confused, it just elevated our confidence level. So, you know, I think with their speed that they had and everything else, just being able to confuse them, that was the main thing. Hey, not be sitting ducks, and let's just use our athletic ability to beat these guys.
George Teague right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa as we're talking about that Miami game, and we're going to work to some current college football and spend a little time helping us sort of break down college football from the current perspective. But George Teague right now inside the game. George, I go back. Gino Toretto has told us before when he's been featured. He's a media analyst. He was actually in Hoover, Alabama at SEC Media Days a couple of days ago. But I go back. He said he was confused at times. And the Heisman winner looked at that defense and he said, you know, we didn't really know what to do. We didn't know how to adjust. And when you see a quarterback like that rattled, you sort of don't let up. And you continue to try to confuse him and continue to try to hit him. And you guys did that with Curry and Copeland and other guys. But you sort of saw a weakness and that was exposed early. And it sort of got him rattled.
Yeah. And, you know, and it really was supposed to be a second half changeup. You know, we figured we'd have to go into it and maybe switch up afterwards, you know, as our coaches typically do, try to give you some extra ammunition later towards the game. But Coach Oliver pulled the trigger and said, let's go after it early. Let's go ahead and try to get on these guys quick. And you're right. And I'm glad he said something about it. It was very easy for us to tell that he was very confused. You know, that led to an interception. For me and a lot of other guys, but the fans, if I could take this moment just to say thank you so much to all the Alabama fans, Bama Nation, for showing up that night and being there and allowing us to be loud and proud and really take it to those guys.
Well, you know, George, I'm glad you brought this up because what I'm going to ask you is probably a little bit unique. SEC Media Days was a couple of days ago. It was in Hoover, Alabama. And there's fans that show up, and, you know, you'd have Georgia fans there. You'd have 5 or 10, and Auburn showed up, and they had 25 or 30, and Florida had, you know, 15 or 20. But then when you walked in, when Nick Saban and three players who represent the University of Alabama walked in on Friday morning, you realize who still buttered the bread in the SEC. It's Alabama. And those fans, I believe, now I've never played on that field, I've never worn that crimson jersey, but talking to guys like yourself, it seems like that expectation from the fans and the way they support Alabama football makes you guys play better and sort of amped up to another level.
Yeah, it is. And, I don't know if people really understand how important fans are to the players and to the staff of, you know, being supportive in a very positive way, but always making noise, being loud, being proud, and supporting you however. So, you know, the tradition of Bama fans rolling up in the motor coaches and whatever, anything that they can come in and getting there and the tailgating and all that. And I love it, even now, not playing, just to be able to get around our fans. There's nothing like it. And I've, you know, had the opportunity to play at some pretty prestigious teams in the best of football league, but there's nothing like Alabama football and the way the fans support the team.
Well, and I mentioned the SEC Media Days. You rolled up to SEC fans, and there's 250 Alabama fans, and they're screaming, and, you know, other fan bases are going, wow, those guys are idiotic. You know, I mean, they're just way too passionate. But I think what it is they're a little bit jealous of that tradition of Alabama football, the guys like yourself that have been a part of.
Yeah, that's right. And they're, it's humbly, they're not used to winning. Like we are.
Yeah, well, We had a Boston College fan that called us in the 5 o'clock hour and challenged the Alabama fans to sign a petition for Alabama to go play Boston College. So I won't let you comment on that, because if you did, it'd be worldwide news. But it was a fun conversation. But obviously a little bit jealous. George Teague right now inside the game. George, I want to talk about a defensive line, because the Alabama secondary at times struggled last year. The defensive line did not help them out as much as what we thought they could. Your nose guard led the team in sacks. You only had 4.5 sacks by a guy that's from Texas. A'shaun Robinson led the team in sacks. How does that unit or both units work together to help one another out?
And I can say this, speaking that I had the two bookends playing in front of me, it is extremely important with the amount of rush and pressure your defensive line, any linebackers, to help the secondary. It is hand in hand. It's not one or the other, but that front seven has to be stout. So you really can't be lacking at all for that, because it's hard to run around, especially in the pass happy league sometimes. Not necessarily the SEC, but you know, other teams that want to throw the ball, you got to be able to get pressure on the guys. And if you're not strong up front, it will be very, very difficult to win games or to control people's passing games. So we got to make sure that that's a focal point for us, that we can get the pressure, whether you got to use it just out of beating people one-on-one matchups or having a nice elaborate scheme that Saban is really good at, so we can get some pressure on the quarterbacks in throwing situations.
You got 2 5 stars coming in. One name is Marlon Humphrey. We know the legacy of Alabama football, Bobby's son that played here in the 80s, Bobby Humphrey, Marlon Humphrey from Hoover, Alabama. And then Tony Brown, who is an all-world track star from Texas, and I believe he was one of the top players in that state last year. He was a 5-star coming out of that state. But, George, you know this position. Can you count on true freshmen to make an impact? Because I think that's what Alabama is going to try to do in 2014.
Absolutely you can. I say that being a little bit biased, because I was one of the two freshmen who didn't get redshirted back in the days when I was playing. But, you know, guys are so big now, so fast, so smart, and the high school coaches are so good now that I think guys are in a better position to be able to make impact very quickly, depending on the position. But, you know, being a secondary, it's just mechanics, hips, having speed, being able to jump and understand that, hey, you're going to have a lot of eyes on you. Can you handle the pressure? So, you know, being a young team doesn't necessarily scare me at all as a fan, because I think the guys will rise up and understand this is Alabama football, and we're gonna give everything that we've got on the field.
George, what does Nick Saban do different? I mean, as far as winning, I mean, he coaches defensive backs. He's got a defensive scheme that works, seems to be very successful. You know, you're making the argument one of the better coaches in college football. What does he do different from your perspective as a former player?
Two things. First one is pretty obvious. He's a very good recruiter, being able to find the best talent, and utilizing his staff to, you know, attract guys to be able to come to our university. But the second thing, and this from being around him and seeing it and witnessing it firsthand, he's a tremendous motivator. Yeah, he's hard on guys and he challenges guys, but the words he uses and the praise that he gives and the support that he gives his players is the biggest piece, because of the motivations, and those guys are going to run through the wall for him. And, you know, that's not true for every coach around the nation. And to be able to use his skills like that and take, you know, guys from everywhere and get them all on the same page and have them want to just totally dominate week in and week out is amazing.
George, how would you tackle Derrick Henry? You saw him in an Oklahoma game in the Sugar Bowl, and I know we didn't win that game, but he's a big physical back, and I know that's going to be a challenge for secondary guys to go a little lower. But, you know, I think about Martin Houston, a guy that you played with that does a radio show here at this same station in the morning. There's a different way that you tackle those big bruising backs, and Derrick Henry's a tailback, and Martin was a fullback, but it's sort of the same. You get them out in the flats, those guys are hard to bring down.
Yeah, and I will say this in a gentleman way, but I didn't care who was coming out there. I'm gonna put these shoulder pads on you and give you a nice licking. So it didn't matter if it was Martin Houston, Kevin Turner, or Terrence Stacey, or whoever it was. I didn't care. But that wouldn't be my advice to everyone else. I do think that you are going to have to get a little bit lower, especially with guys like these. I'm telling you, man, these guys are so big now and powerful and strong. And I look. I've been to the practices and stuff, and I'm like, there's no way that I could take on these guys. Like
George.
What, man?
You listen, you were one of the great defensive backs here. You could play in this era. Don't kid yourself. I know you're humbled, man, but listen, man, you're one of the all-time DBs here. You could play. That. Listen, no doubt, you'd make the adjustment.
Well, I appreciate you, you know, but football is a very tough sport. And you got to have a lot of heart. And, you know, if you're a safety or a corner and someone like that's coming around the corner or the linebacker missed or whatever, you know, that's why you play football at the University of Alabama, because those things are going to happen and it's time to step up. So you go in, you use all your mechanics or your teachings, and you tackle properly and you get them on the ground the best way you can, which is tie those legs up. So they can't run over you or through you and get them on the ground.
George, final comment. I was sitting with Martin Houston 2 weeks ago, and we're at Dreamland, and he's telling the story about the day that he thought he had got past George Teague, and he's running down in practice, and then here comes George Teague across the middle, and George, I think he knocked him out. I think he said it was the only time he'd ever been knocked out in practice, but George Teague got him in practice.
And I'm glad he was truthful about that. I make sure I tell him that, because I did get it. It was one of my missions to be able to have a big hit on every one of our wide receivers and running backs. So I did get Martin Houston like that. I remember it like it was yesterday. I think he expected me at that time, about 185 pounds, to, you know, take on his, I don't know how much he weighed, 230, 240. But I got him really good, so. And I got to practice film, so I'll go back and watch it every now and again.
He said he still got the helmet. He said he's got an indenture in the helmet as far as where George T. caught him coming across the middle, or excuse me, from behind, I think he caught him. So,
Oh, man, it was good days, man. We were able to compete and practice, and that's why we were so good. We practiced like it was a game. We weren't trying to hurt anybody or do anything like that, but we knew we were going to go full speed. And when it was time to go full contact, we were going to go, because we wanted to simulate the game as much as possible in practice.